Have any of you ever seen This Warning at the end of a movie or a trailer that you were watching? This warning, it doesn't need a lot of explanation. We know what it means. It means that parental guidance is suggested. It means just what it says. It says that you want to be there when your child experiences this movie. You want to be there to guide them. You want to be there to help them through the touchier subjects. But what if this idea of parental guidance was applied to your teen's spiritual life? Scripture is very clear about the role of a parent in raising children. Their guidance isn't just suggested, it's required. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." The truth is, your child is learning all the time. They're watching you, they're watching their devices, and they're watching those in the environment that they're placed in. Questions are being asked, and someone is answering them. They're being shaped, and someone is doing that molding. What if the most dangerous thing that you can do is nothing? What if your lack of guidance, or the assumption that they'll figure out faith on their own, is causing your children's faith not to develop correctly? There is an extremely alarming amount of young people that are leaving the church. The numbers of those leaving is very similar. It's similar across denominations, and it's similar across locations. It doesn't matter where your church is at or what you believe. Young people are leaving the church. If I can have y'all come up here. I'm going to have some of the youth group join me just to illustrate how many teens and young adults the church is really losing. Now, statistics show that for young adults that grew up attending church, about 66% stop attending church for at least 1 year during their college years. So if I can have two-thirds of y'all sit down. That's a really scary statistic, and it's one that we should do everything we can as Christians to change. This isn't a number that only applies at faraway places or in other denominations. This is a number that affects your kids. It affects these kids. I hope this lesson will serve as a wake-up call to parents and to the congregation to do everything that you can to make sure that this doesn't happen here. The effort to stop this from happening with your kids or the kids in this congregation, it has to start now. The truth is that the falling away usually happens while teens are in your house, not after they get out of it. For a long time, we've heard colleges vilified by members of the church, and we've heard lesson after lesson about how many young people are lost after high school. And while there are many that lose their faith in college, the truth is that falling away usually happens before high school graduation, and not years after. For those that did leave the faith during college, the falling away almost always happened long before their move-in day on the campus. If you guys can stay up here just a little bit longer, I want the audience to be able to look at you while I read these statistics. A study by America's Research Group, published in the book Already Gone, found that among the 66% of young adults that fell away, 40% lost their faith in middle school. This didn't happen in college. This wasn't a professor. This wasn't anything they learned after moving out of your house. 40% of those that lost their faith reported losing it in middle school. Another 43% lost their faith in high school. They lost it in their parents' house. And finally, a whopping 10% reported that their doubt began only after entering college. The truth is, we're losing young people at an extremely alarming rate in the church, and we're losing them younger than ever. We're losing our kids while we still have them, not after they move away. Kids and teens are doubting God, they aren't growing their faith, and they're leaving Christianity. This is a huge problem, and it's one that the Bible often warns of. So this evening, we'll be looking at three ways that we can keep young people faithful according to God's word. Y'all can sit down. Firstly, parents have to be the driving force of making their own children faithful. Faith isn't something that children can inherit. It's not genetic. It's not something that can be passed down. It has to be taught to them. This means that parents must be involved in their children's lives. They must talk to them about spiritual things, and you have to be there to answer your kids' questions. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "These words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." This verse clearly states that parents must teach their children to be faithful, and that faith is built at home. The truth is, teens aren't being lost after graduation. They're being lost in the living room. They're being lost on their phones. They're being lost on the television. They're being lost with their friends. Colleges aren't the problem. The problem is when teens don't learn the Bible at home. The average teen spends 7.5 hours per day on their phone. Add in school, homework, eating, and sleeping on top of that, and there's very little time left for teens to develop their own personal faith. Forcing your kids to act out your faith by bringing them to church with you on Sunday morning does little to help them build the kind of faith that will keep them Christians through college and beyond. Most teens are receiving more direction and more influence from their screens and their peers than they are from their parents, and that's a problem. For that brief amount of time that you do have to influence your children, what are you doing with it? Do your children hear or see you pray? Do you read the Bible with them or on your own? Do you apologize? Do you repent for the mistakes that you make? Your teens are watching you, and if you're not setting the kind of example that they should be following, then don't be so quick to blame colleges or professors when they fall away. It's also easy to leave the job of spiritual guidance to the youth minister or the Bible class teachers or the elders at church. But you, as the parent, are also responsible for getting your teen in the doors so that these people can influence them. The Bible is also very clear that the responsibility of the parents, it is the responsibility of the parents to pass down their own faith. It's not the responsibility of the youth minister or the elders who see your child at most a few hours a week. Make sure that you're being a leader in your teen's spiritual development and not just a bystander or an observer to what the world is teaching them. Speaking of the world, teens are being influenced more than ever by culture. You can't hide your kids from outside influences anymore. There's no way to eliminate 100% of the outside influence that the world is throwing at your kids or the temptation that comes with it. You have to protect your children, but you also have to prepare them. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." As Christians, we are called to be set apart from the world. We're called to have a transformed mind that's renewed and is different from the world. And you have to be the one that helps your children accomplish that. Statistics show that phone and social media addiction are extremely common among teenagers, even more so than any drug or alcohol. A study that analyzed over 5 billion activities on the phones of teens found that nearly all of them were exposed to inappropriate imagery or topics on some level. As a parent, you need to be monitoring what your children are taking in, and you should be aware of what they're being fed at all times. Be an active parent. Be an involved parent that sees the issues that your child has to deal with and helps them navigate through it. One of the reasons that so many are leaving the church is because the pull of the world is just too strong. So be the kind of parent that pulls back on your child. Pull them away from the world. Pull them away from the influences and the temptation of the world. Be a positive force, pushing them closer to God, and fight back against the influence that the world has on them. The pull of the world is extremely strong, and it's even worse for teens. So make sure that you are an active participant and a leader in the war for your child, and lead them closer to God so that they won't be lost. Finally, teens are the church of the future, and the future needs to be protected. Judges 2:10 says, And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. This is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. After Joshua died, an entire generation of Israelites arose that did not know the Lord. This is the same Israel that watched the walls of Jericho fall, the same Israel that walked on dry ground across the Jordan and the Red Sea, and the same Israel who received manna from God on the ground every morning. And they lost their faith in just one generation. This should be a reminder that as parents, it is your responsibility to ensure that a situation like Judges 2:10 never happens. Young people have to be raised in a Christian environment by Christian parents that ensure the next generation is one that knows the Lord and continues to serve him. We are only ever one generation away from a faithless culture. Faith isn't inherited, it's not genetic, it has to be taught, modeled, and it has to be loved onto the next generation. Your child won't stay faithful because they grew up going to church. They have to see Christ in your home. They have to come to personally know God and not just borrow your faith. So what does this mean for you? What do you need to do? As parents, the stakes are way too high to be passive. The world isn't passive in discipling your children, and you can't be either. Social media, culture, and classrooms are aggressively shaping what your child believes. Will you be as dedicated and intentional as worldly influences are? Will you raise children who know God and not just know about him? Parents have to be the driving force of making their own child faithful, and we're not doing a good job of it. Scripture is clear that it is the job of the parents to make sure that their child remains faithful. No congregation or anyone in it can out-impact a faithful parent's teaching on their own child. So here's some practical ways that you can make sure that your kids don't fall away. Firstly, create a home environment that encourages faith building. Pray in front of your children and with your children. Lead family devotionals at the dinner table. Talk about faith as a family and help to actively grow your child's own personal faith. Don't outsource your God-given role as a parent to others. Be an active participant in the growing of your child's faith. Secondly, guard what shapes your child's mind. Actively monitor what your child is consuming. Don't just filter what they see. Discuss it as a family. Be the first to bring up tough subjects before the world does and give your kids a Christ-centered view of these issues. And make sure that you are helping to shape your child and to model Christian living to them. Be a source of positive reinforcement for your child's faith so that you can counteract the pull of the world. Third, teach the next generation to know the Lord. Raise your children to be the church of the future as well as right now. Show your children that their faith is more than something they do on Sunday. It should shape who they are. Show your children that their identity is in Christ. Christianity isn't something you do on a Sunday. It's not something on Wednesday nights. Christianity should be a core part of their identity, a core part of who they are. Can I have y'all come back up here? And can those that were sitting before sit again? So I ask you, parents, I ask you, church, what are you going to do to make sure that this doesn't happen? What will you do to make sure that the children in your family and at this congregation stay faithful? It's my prayer that these kids at this congregation will grow up knowing God and will continue to know him throughout middle school, high school, college, and beyond. The truth is, parental guidance isn't recommended. It's required. Your guidance isn't just beneficial. It's commanded. It's not just valuable. It's essential. Your involvement, your guidance, and your love might just end up being the difference between a child who drifts away and one who stays firm in the faith. Close with me in prayer. Lord, We come before you this evening to ask you to be with these parents as they seek to guide their children into a closer relationship with you. Be with those in the congregation that don't have children or whose children are grown, and give them opportunities to mentor young people and their parents. Be with the shepherds of this congregation that they can see through those who are struggling in their faith and their relationship with you, and be there to minister to them when they need it. And finally, please be with these teens. Help them to grow closer to you as they age and not further from you. Help them to take advantage of the wisdom of the leaders of this congregation and to listen to the instruction of their parents. And help the statistics that we've talked about this evening to be proven false in the young people here today. Help to bring up a generation that knows, serves, and loves you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayers for you or your child, if you need prayers to be a better parent and to make sure that your kid and this congregation doesn't reflect those statistics that we talked about, or if you need to become a Christian, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.